You're listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Coco, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere. And Ali, you're older and wiser than I am.
Yes.
I didn't mean to say shush, but I knew we were going on.
Oh, it's not a problem. She was just shushing me from using the microphone.
I'm looking at the countdown.
Sorry. It's early to be shushed.
Yes,
anyway,
that's fine.
1510wwbc.com. You can hit that listen live button. Get us on any one of your streaming devices. And then, of course, we have everything archived there, all of the shows, each and every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. They're all archived on that page. And then, of course, we edit and share all of that information on our social media pages and on our website, which is cedamediainc.com, and all available for download.
How are we doing with our downloads? Are we doing good? Are we up to date with our shows?
We are up to date with most of the show. I have one more show to edit. I had a few things that just didn't sound right on it, so got one more show to edit, but we had 16,400 and something downloads last week.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful.
It ranges anywhere from 16 to like 21,000.
I just booked somebody to call in from Spain the first week of March.
Those are always good ones, Sita, because they, you know, especially when they're international guests.
Yeah, it's fun. So for our listeners who are tuning in today to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, Merry Christmas and a happy and prosperous new year to all of you guys. As you all know, I love Christmas. I'm a Hindu for Jesus.
Hindu for Jesus.
That's right. I grew up in a country where we celebrated Christmas, Eid, Diwali, you know, any holiday that came around. Trinidadians just like to party, period.
There you go.
Doesn't matter. As long as you have faith, family, a little finances, you can forgive each other and you could sit at the table and eat some food. People are happy, you know, so that's me. So I could celebrate every year. For our listeners who are tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, we have an action-packed show today. As you know, we sit here on Mondays. Ellen O'Neill, Ali, our cheerleader, Danny runs our board, and we speak to people, human beings such as myself, who wants to advocate for something, clean air, water, sunshine, just to be alive, to live on God's magnificent planet, not just survive, but actually live, enjoy the planet. We speak to folks who would like to advocate for the homeless, for foster children. We speak to foster children. We speak with financial literacy folks, a lot of authors. You name it, our show keeps booking our guests. And we like to say that our show is fun. It's unscripted. We give out valuable information to whoever wants to listen. And sometimes people store the information and they may not use it right away, but they've got it. Right, Miss Ellen?
That's right. Hospice.
You don't need it right away, but you know who to call.
Right. So security information, all of that great stuff. That's right.
Yeah, we do. I had a bit of I was kind of like scrambling this morning because I hadn't heard from my first guest that we needed for the show this morning. And I'm like, okay, let me put my feelers out there because, you know, we have people waiting in the wings to call in. And then I heard from her and I was so happy that she called in. So our show today, our good friend Shayna Lemon is going to be on the second segment. She has decided to throw her hat in the ring to run for office next year for the school board. And so she's going to be running for District 2. And folks, I met this young lady, I want to say like 10 years ago. And she has grown into such an intelligent, beautiful human being on the planet that I wish her 100% support on her bid to become one of the school board members here in Brevard. So thank you. You'll be on second segment. Our first segment, our call-in guest, is a lovely lady. Her name is Erica Lindy. And Erica is the founder of Tenacious Empathy. And it is amazing the kind of work that she and her team are doing to show kindness and empathy in action. And so I had booked her a while back, and I was like, oh my goodness, I'm not hearing from her. But we had a great explanation, and she's on the phone. And I want to say welcome to our show, my dear, and thank you for taking the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Thank you so much for having me. This is such a great opportunity. I love it.
You know what? I was worried because I was like, where is she? She's not texting me back. And I knew that you had responded, you know, quickly before. So you are the co-founder of Tenacious Empathy, and it's a movement that you started with your partner, Terry O'Neill. So talk to us a little bit about how you started this movement, actually. It's your website is beautiful, about love and courage and compassion and empathy. And Lord knows we need that right now in the United States.
Exactly. And that's exactly why Terry and I started this website and this call to action. We really want to put the word out that empathy is not a vibe, it's a verb. And we need to start doing more around our communities and our country to foster, you know, love for each other and kindness and just doing things for each other and for our loved ones and our friends that will benefit our world and our planet and not just bring it down.
Right.
Everything seems so negative.
And you guys met, from what I read, in 1999 on an AOL chat group?
Yes. Yes. It was one of these, you know, it was like the Western frontier back then.
Yeah.
It was just so random that we met. She had her birth date on there as 3/28, and I was being a little slow at the moment, and I said, 3/28, you're 72. What are you what are you doing in a chat room? And she was like, no, silly, that's my birth date, and you know, my day of birth. And I was like, oh. And so we just kind of hit it off from then, and we've been best friends ever since, and we've been in and out of relationship. And then finally, during COVID, we were like, you know, life is too short. And so we just made the decision. And so out of our relationship was born Tenacious Empathy. And here we are trying to advocate for empathy in this world.
Yeah. And you know what? Oftentimes we hear people talk about compassion and empathy, and they say it in words, but don't really put it into action, right? And it's amazing that God does send angels into your lives when you least expect it. And it sounds like Terry was one of those, because you guys hit it off. You're both parents, you're educators, creators, and most importantly, the love to start something like this was there in your heart. You just needed somebody else to push you to do it.
Exactly. We just want ourselves and other people to follow their joy. Because if you follow your joy and do things that you want to do for this world, that will create more empathy, and it will create just a better overall environment for us to be living in.
Yes. So talk to us a little bit about, do you need people to volunteer on your side? Do you need people to tell their stories about kindness and empathy? What can we do here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends to help you all? Because I do believe that all of us need to leave a good footprint behind when we leave planet Earth. And websites such as yours and what you guys are doing, you are really changing the hearts and the minds and the souls of so many people who are just mean and cruel. If they go on your website, they would change their mind about being mean.
I hope.
Right, and that's hopefully the point. I would like it to be a social website, kind of like a website for empathy, kind of like TikTok is a website for activism, or maybe even a shop. And Facebook is, you know, Facebook. But I want Tenacious Empathy to be a social site where people can come on my site and post their blogs and post their content about what they're doing to be to spread empathy in our world.
Yeah.
What does empathy look like for them?
Exactly. And, you know, like right now we're seeing, you know, right now if you watch cable news, which a lot of us have kind of sort of turned it off, we see war, we see famine, we see, you know, children who are losing arms and limbs. And, you know, as a nurse, you know, we are trained to help people. If you see an elderly person in our nursing facility with an oxygen level under, let's say, you know, 85 or something, you run with oxygen. You want to save this person. And then you feel helpless when you can't use your profession or your expertise to help people around the world. When you see a child that's dying in a war-torn country, or you see someone who is starving to death, or someone who's cold on the borders of certain countries. And so I think it's good that you started the website, because just maybe you would reach people in certain areas of a global world and be able to help that way.
And I actually, that is one of the things that I've already done. I'm in conversations with a few families in Gaza, and we have been, I've been helping them with food and trying to get shelter. I've posted their stories on my site. One girl's name is Sundis, and she has a family of nine, and she's told me all about her situation. And I've done I've donated my own money, but also tried to get other people to donate to her cause. And then my friend Mustafa, he is in a really bad situation on the border of Syria and Turkey. And it's just a bad situation for Mustafa, but I was able to help him with money as well. And he was able to take that and pay it forward and help one of his neighbors who has two autistic children who are nonverbal, and they are living in a dilapidated cement house. It's not even a house. It's just a shelter. And so he was able to buy cement and shelter items for him. So we are slowly but surely building something that's going to make a ripple.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it only takes one person to start something, and then, you know, other people join, right?
Yeah.
So give us the website for our friends who are listening to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, so they can see all the wonderful work you guys are doing. And you know, whoever built your website, it's so easy to navigate as well.
Well, thank you. This is the first time I've ever built a website. I did it myself.
Wow.
I did it with the help of ChatGPT. And we did it page by, because I had no idea how to do it. And so I built it page by page, and it began as something very different as far as the look. And it just evolved over time to finally get to this point. And I think I've got it to where I want it. But I really want other viewers to come on to tenaciousempathy.com and build their own blogs and build their own channel on my site.
Right. Well, you're giving people an opportunity as well to join the chat and to talk about, I mean, you know, sometimes you see people on a daily basis and they've got something going on in their life. Not everybody puts on, you know, wears on their sleeve what's going on in their heart or their homes. And I think it's so important to say good morning to people. How are you?
Exactly.
How are your children? It's so very important just to be kind, right? And everybody talks about kindness, but unfortunately, not everybody is kind. How can we get our country, get little children? I mean, you read about the Japanese children that they're learning to have empathy and sympathy and be kind at the age of 3 and 4. And then you wonder, it used to be in our country, they would say, if you have nothing nice to say, say nothing at all. But now we're seeing the total opposite. People are feeling so great when they say something horrible and hurt someone. They're like, I got them, you know? So how do we get people to go back to, if you have nothing nice to say, say nothing at all?
I think that's one of the rules as a teacher that I really tried to, you know, instill in my students is the golden rule. Treat others how you want to be treated. And I think that we've gotten away from that. As far as, like, I've been teaching for 22 years, and the last few years since COVID have been very negative. And I think we all know the reason why, But it's really caused the children to lash out at each other. And so I had to, you know, had conversations with the kids. How do we stop this? How do we get to be more kind to each other? Why are we being mean? And they honestly didn't know. They just said, it feels like the vibe.
Yeah.
And I said, well, we need to change that vibe. So let's do things. Let's just start now and do things that are kind. It takes action. We can't just think about it.
Yeah. And it only,
and so that,
it
that only, day we
and,
did that.
And you know, it only takes one person to go into the classroom and say, today we're going to do such and such, have an activity. You know, because you find that so many people, even like when we have elections, you find so many people who are just, the word I want to say is they're apathetic. They talk about mm-hmm. voting. They want to vote. They want changes. They want to see more teachers in the classroom. They want to see the teachers get compensated properly. They want to see a good health insurance. They want a classroom with less than 20 kids. They want good desks. They want air conditioning. And then you say, well, that's wonderful because we just had an election. And you say, did you vote? Oh, no, I didn't. I didn't have time.
Exactly.
Well, do you,
right.
Well,
so
how do you fix it? How on God's magnificent planet do you fix things by just running your mouth? Right?
Right, right. You have to put the work in.
Right. Well,
it has to be one foot after the other.
Well, today is our day for teachers because our friend who's going to be on the second segment, I'd like to introduce you to her. Her name is Shayna Lemon, and she's going to be running for our school board here next year in District 2. So I'm okay. So pleased that it's two educators.
Hello.
Yeah.
My name is Shania.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Yeah. So I understand for Tenacious Empathy, there is like a subscription where we can become a member of your community. Let us know how we can help because you're using your life experience as an educator and your friends as well. And to give back to our earth, to give back, you know, kindness and empathy and compassion. And how can our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends help? And how can we become part of your community?
You can sign up for Tenacious Empathy and create your own blog and space. That is at no cost. The $5 join fee is just for really my side of the site and what I'm doing as far as trying to get people to collectively come together to help others financially. And so even just a little bit of money, $5 can go a long way. I mean, $5 to someone in Gaza can mean the difference between life and death. So it's not a lot. It's not a big amount. It's a small amount. But if enough people join together, we can really make an impact with that amount. So
yeah,
that is just my point for now. But I really want people to join for free and to promote their own empathy.
Yeah, and you also have the merchandise shop where someone could purchase merchandise as well because all those proceeds are going towards making our world a better place.
Exactly. It is not to line my own pockets because I don't believe in that. It is to put our message out into the world to wear on our bodies and to take that money and then to put it back into our world. And to advocate for kindness and do things that are good.
Yeah. You know, when I was preparing for the show this morning, I saw something on Facebook and I thought about you because I had just hung up the phone with you after mopping the floor this morning. I was so distressed that I hadn't heard from you. I said, you know what? I'm going to go downstairs and I'm going to mop the floor. I'm going to wipe the countertop because my ladies weren't coming today. And I'm like, great, I'm going to get this. And then I came upstairs and I saw my phone and you had called. But I saw what it said that when our time on earth is done, money or material things will not matter. But the love,
exactly,
the time, and the kindness we have given to others would shine on forever. And I thought about you and how you are taking your time to shine and not just shine for yourself, but so many people, because there aren't a lot of people who are courageous enough to start doing what you are doing, my dear. I mean, it's amazing the work you're doing. And yes, you know, if we care about every child that's born, there's so many people that say, you know, we should care about a pregnant woman, or we should care about a child that a woman is carrying. When that child is born, the child needs a place to go to school. It needs a safe home. It needs health insurance. Right. The child needs food, water, shelter. And I also donated to the Rohingya Muslims at the border of Bangladesh. We had a friend that called in and told us about how they were needing blankets when the winter months are coming and they are freezing. And so when you read a lot and you pay attention to what's happening on God's magnificent planet, you realize how lucky and blessed we are in the United States, because so many people around the world are really, really in dire straits, right?
And we have our own, you know, problems that we have to deal with. But as far as like the global aspect, we have so much abundance right here, and we have so much that we can give and do to help other people around the world.
Yeah, and I want to say that empathy in some ways is a little bit different from compassion, right? But empathy is actually, I would say it's a strength, wouldn't you say?
Yes, it is definitely a strength, and it's definitely something that's intrinsic within people. To be empathic, you have to be able to put yourself in other people's shoes and really feel what they're feeling. And that's where I don't think people have a block. They're not really seeing how life could be in another country in that situation and really feeling what that could possibly feel like.
And I think the breakdown too, this is Ellen, I think the breakdown too is really in communication as well, that we just don't listen to each other and we don't listen to what's going on. And even when someone is trying to do good or trying to be kind or trying to reach out and maybe help out a family, it comes with so much controversy. You know, even some of the gifts of time and some of the things that I was doing this holiday season for friends and relatives and people, you know, honestly, people that I didn't know, but wanted to still give back because I felt like they needed it more. They needed my time. And, you know, just being able to listen. But I was faced with so much adversity and controversy, like, you don't know, they don't have, you know, or there's questionable as to what they have and whether they're worthy of the kindness. I said, you know something, everyone is worthy of kindness. I don't care what they have in their pocket or what they have on their tree, under their tree. Everyone is worthy of kindness. And just seeing and feeling those challenges, I said the same thing. Like, we've really lost the art of listening and loving each other, to the point of, you know, be your brother's keeper, right? Yeah. Be thy brother's keeper has totally flown out the window, and we need to bring that back for sure.
Yeah,
we really do.
So you know what? One of the things I read about you is that you, like me, you talk about family, right? And sometimes to get rid of all the noise, you have to realize that family means everything. Love is everything. Kindness is everything. But we're living in a world where we're watching so many children, grown adults, and now saying, I want to disassociate myself from my parents. You're living in a time when parents are saying, I've had it. I'm done with these. And they're disassociating themselves from their children. I mean, what has happened in our world? Because it used to be that parents are there to guide their children, to love their children. And we all speak about forgiveness. But that one thing a lot of people are lacking today in this world is the art of forgiveness.
Right.
Because with forgiveness comes love, and with love comes kindness. How can we, you and I and all of us, help our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, because it is the Christmas season and everyone talks about, you know, Jesus being born in a manger and all this stuff. And he was, but in today's world, they would probably not let him into that manger and just call him an illegal immigrant.
Right. Exactly right.
You know, and so it's like, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I mean, it's like you look at history and you're like, well, wait a minute. They would probably say, well, you really don't belong here. This property is not yours. But at the same time, I was driving back from Naples and I saw the nativity scene. And I saw the manger, and I saw baby Jesus, and I saw Mother Mary, and I saw Joseph, and I saw angels. And I was thinking how wonderful it was that they were welcomed in that barn or manger or whatnot so that they could have a safe spot to give birth to their child. But in today's world, there's so many unkind people that probably won't even let a person into their backyard who was pregnant and given birth.
And I think that's one of the biggest problems in the United States is that there is not enough support for women in this country. When women give birth and start a family with their partners, they're not given enough to spend with their children. And I really think that's at the detriment. And that's one of the reasons why we're not seeing as much empathy. We need more time with our kids. It's crazy how in Italy you can have a whole year of time with child before you have to go back to work. And here in this country, we don't even get any time off that's paid.
Yeah. And a lot of the countries that we give foreign aid to by the billions, their citizens have socialized medicine. Their citizens have, college paid for. A lot of them have time off, paid time off with their families. It's like they put such stock in their children while we are working here to send our money for them and leave our children in a daycare. And this is the first time Danny's shaking his head. Yeah. So we're putting our kids in a daycare and we're sending our tax dollars to all these countries that benefit from us. And that is the one place where I do say America first. I do feel like you mothers and children and fathers, we need to unite and say, wait a minute, 3 months or 6 weeks is not enough to be home with your child. You need more than that. I mean, a woman's body has to heal after giving after childbirth too. And that don't take no 6 weeks. Just constipation alone, that takes a while to go away. And all the women that end up with trouble, you know.
Well, just in those bonding moments, too. It's like, once again, I mean, where do you teach empathy? That's part of it, you know. It's that moment, the second that you have the opportunity to show love and to give back.
Right. And it's not enough to say, you know, a woman has given birth and it's enough to say we have to educate a woman and men about their reproductive organs. Are you going to use your reproductive organs willy-nilly and just give birth to children, not knowing who is going to take care of the child? I am on the board of an organization called the Fair Start Movement, and they believe that every child should come into the world and have a fair start. And it starts with the parents knowing how to save money before the child is born. So when the child is born, you have a little nest egg. In other words, prepare yourself for children, because when they're born, it is not fair to them that you are bringing them into the world without a black scent or a red scent or a green scent. Allie, do you have something to add to that?
No. And they feel that.
Actually, no, you did right.
Yes, yeah. Okay, so for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with our friend who started Tenacious Empathy. And I tell you, Erica, Lindy, you are amazing, and I would like to have you call back in on our show again. But tell our listeners where, what other social media platforms you are on so they could follow you as well and drown out all the noise and hate and apathy, and first and foremost, get involved and vote, and secondly, be kind.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes, I'm on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and then, of course, my own website. I did want to say one thing. One reason Tenacious Empathy was born was because of my son, Jude Gray. And Jude Gray is probably one of the most soulful children I've ever met. Oh. But he is very sick. And I just wanted to put it out there that I did start this site to really bring attention to my child's disease, because it is undiagnosable. And he's been in the hospital since July, and he's been in and out of care for 5 years. And he's on palliative care, and we are really trying to find doctors for him. So I want to put that out there as well. If anybody knows any kind of doctors in the world that can help with rare conditions, we could really use the help.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. I did read about him, but I didn't know if you wanted to mention him. Now, you are calling in from Columbus, Ohio, right? Are you? Is it Ohio?
I am actually visiting my family here in Williamsburg, Virginia right now, which is why I didn't get back to you.
Oh, okay. So, well, you know, I do believe that it's a choice. It's a commitment for us to try to be our brothers and sisters' keeper, no matter what the color of our skin is, no matter what religion we follow, no matter what our race is. And we can't hate on each other because we were born in a different place. Because we were hatched. I like to say we were all eggs and we were hatched in a different territory. Because people make so much fuss about religion and race and skin color. But at the end of the day, I think we all want the same thing. We want to be loved and appreciated. And we want someone to be kind to us. We don't want, let's get rid of, like my grandsons, all the meanies in the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So as a teacher,
we have enough bullies.
That's right. So as a teacher, give us like a minute or so of your advice to our young Shayner here, who's just started out in the teaching profession. What can you tell your younger self in the teaching profession that you've seen and experienced?
Honestly, it is the same message that I'm trying to promote on my website, and that is to have empathy for our children. A lot of new teachers go into the classroom expecting something totally different because they don't teach teachers how to teach at teacher school. Right. That's one thing I've said. It's a different perspective. So you have to have empathy for the children that you're teaching, and to have patience, because those kids, the kids that you have in your classroom, some of them will be very, very, let's say, what? They will give you a run for your money.
And rambunctious. They'll be rambunctious.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And a lot of teachers, new teachers, go in yelling and screaming and causing a fuss. And that's just not the way to do it. Discipline only goes so far. You have to have kindness and treat the kids the way you want to be treated. And really, that's my advice.
Yeah. Well, give us a website one more time, my friend. And I'm so happy that you called in. And I'll have you back again maybe in August or so, when, you know, mid-year, when we could do it a little kindness reminder.
Little
you
update.
Know?
Yeah. Yes, that would be amazing.
Yes. Ellen, you take it away from there, girl. She'll give us a website.
Well, I'm just reading about Jude, so I'm going to make sure that we share all of that information for sure on our website as well. We're going to take a quick minute my pleasure. We're going to take a quick minute and listen to our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super saving sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral, and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County. Contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7 online. And we've got to give all the time left to Shania Lemon.
That's right.
And we're heard online.
We are. 1510 WWBC. You can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your social media or streaming devices. Of course, then you can also download the show right after the show, if you'd like, right from 1510 WWBC. And we share it on all of our social media as well as our website, cetamediainc.com.
Well, I am grateful to my dear listeners who are tuning in today to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And I'm also grateful for our guest, Shania Lemon. She is a candidate for the school board, District 2, which would be next year. And her first election would be in August, right? It'll be August?
Yes, the primaries.
It's August 2nd?
Yeah. August, and then special elections. The actual election would be November 3rd, I believe.
Wonderful. So tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends why you decided to put your hat in the ring and run for school board.
So I thought about it. And I decided to run because when teachers run, students win. Me, currently, I am a educator in Brevard County Public Schools, but I also have a lot of lived experience through foster care, through being an advocate, through being a foster parent to an adopted parent, and then working with special needs children. Knowing all those different parts of who I am and what I have been through, I believe I can be a great advocate for the kids because I've seen the struggles. I have the empathy and I understand exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I want my kids to win. And if I want my kids to win, then I have to have the strongest teachers. And in order to have the strongest teachers, we have to have the strongest leadership.
Yeah. And I remember when I met you, Shania, you were just aging out of the foster care system. And as I sit next to you here, you are such a shining example of a person who believed in themselves. I think you believed in yourself and you had help along the way. But, you know, it's amazing to know you have your master's degree, you're teaching, and now you're going to be running for office.
Yes. It is something that is a testimony to my faith and my family and people who have supported me through the time of everything. Different organizations, my guardian ad litem, who literally never left my life. And she's no longer a guardian ad litem. She's actually, I just call her my grandma. And people are like, who's that? And my grandma. She's the greatest woman.
She believed in you.
Yeah, she definitely helped and believed in me through a lot of things.
Yeah. And we just spoke with an educator too, and we heard about the classroom and what's missing in the classroom. And I think, you know, a lot of kids, they get on the bus, they get to class, but their little minds are weighing very heavy. They've got issues going on at home. And you can certainly empathize with that. You've been there. You've done that. You've seen it firsthand.
Yes. So I was in City Year, and I was also in Teach for America. And the poem, I don't want to misquote it, but the poem itself was, it's more than just a pencil. The kid walks into, to sum it up, the kid walks into a classroom, and the teacher is yelling at him about a pencil, not understanding that that student had to go wake up their sister and make sure she wasn't late for the bus and had to do dinner the night before because mom was working a third shift and then had to get up and do a double. And by the time he got to school, he had nothing for left for himself. So he walks into the classroom and he sits down ready to learn, and the teacher yells at him. And when you look at it that way, that is the story of a lot of kids. Unfortunately, not just in America, but definitely in Brevard County.
Yeah.
Where you have, you know, parents are working hard, and it's not faults of the parents, but they're working second and third shift or having to work a double to pay bills. So you have the oldest child trying to help with the younger students, the younger kids. So they have a lot on their plate. And how do you yell at that kid because they may not have
a pencil? So you have to have patience.
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you see as the most pressing challenges facing our district here in Brevard? Because I know you care about teacher retention. You do know, like I do know, that teachers are the backbone of the education system. But what do you see as your role, like what the challenges?
I think a big challenge is how our leadership is in Brevard County, unfortunately. And, you know, since I am still a BPS employee, I have to pick and choose my words wisely.
Yeah. And that's why on our show, we like to say that Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, it's fun, it's unscripted, and it's informative. And we give out valuable information. You're running for office. You have a good heart. God knows you want to do well for the children. And yes, say what's on your heart, but a job comes before everything else. You do have your bills to pay and your mortgage, and you need your health insurance. So pause if you have to and think about what you say, because you're absolutely correct. We want you to win, but we also want you to keep your job.
Yes. I would say a big issue that I've seen as a parent is some of our leadership, they definitely need a lot more training. It is great to go into a program and do a 2-year program on how to be an AP or how to be a principal, but our leadership is lacking that empathy. Not all of them, because I've met some incredible principals. My own principal is great, right? But I've seen some principals where I can literally, if I say their name, if I said, hey, well, my kid goes to this school and they're under this person, and 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teachers give me a look of disdain, that's an issue.
Yeah, that's called the look.
Like, that's yeah. an issue.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have people in Brevard County where it seems like they may have favoritism with some administrators on the board or things of that nature still in our county.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you feel like the education system is all about the zip code.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you know, but well, you know, like everybody else, you do care about safe schools. And I do believe that safe schools is something that we have to look at, because you need safe schools. You'll have students who are safe, right? Mental health resources and counseling is a big thing. Prevention, of course. And we know that students feel their best when they're feeling safe. So do you have any guidance for the school board or for people in Brevard about safe schools? Do you have any ideas to give to them?
Like I would what you've say seen? Right now, PBIS, that is bread and butter. That is bread and butter for the kids. That is also bread and butter for adults. Yes, you get brownie points, and some people may think it's outdated to do it for adults, but hey, we're younger adults and I like getting a shout out when I'm on time for a week and a half, 2 weeks. I know other people like getting shout outs for, I don't know, just saying, hey, you worked really well with your kids this week.
Those, so what's a PBIS, just for the listeners?
PBIS is positive support interventions, where like
praise and encouragement.
Sure,
yes.
Absolutely.
So it's a nationwide incentive.
Okay.
Right. This is where we're giving, I don't want to say prizes, but incentives for children that help curb behavior. Right. This is in every school. Every school in Brevard County has some type of PBIS system. And if they don't, that's an issue. They have some type of PBIS system. It's just not uniformed. And that's fine, because you, one shoe doesn't fit all. What Cambridge Elementary does versus what Saturn Elementary does, two different things. Even though they're in the same sector, two different demographics of kids.
So it's an electronic praise with a kind of a point system, if you will?
Yeah, so you do have a point system. I don't believe every school uses the point system electronically. Some do it on paper, but everybody has their own PBIS store where they have treats. And the treats can range from candies and cakes to sneakers, headphones, Axe body spray, a bike. Now, those are really high-ticket items.
But they're going to work towards it.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Those are great goals, though.
Yeah. But those are things, because you came to school and you were respectful, because you put in the effort in class, because you were safe on campus, you're getting points, and eventually you'll be able to earn those high-ticket items. And that's what you want. This isn't, oh, I said I want this. No, this is you're supposed to ask the kids, hey, what do you want? This is what we want. And then the same thing with staff. I did meet with a principal once upon a time, and she divulged that she had a PBIS system for her teachers. And she said, hey, this is how I did it. I had gift cards, and I would do a raffle, and I would do principal for a day where I could go in the classroom and they would be principal. So they would do my job, and they would go back and forth.
That should be nationwide for all professions. Like, I'm a nurse. I like when people say you're doing a good job, nurse. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel good, right? So for listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we're speaking with Shania Lemon. She is a candidate for the school board in District 2 here in Brevard County, Florida, which she would be on the ballot next year, first in August. So keep that on your calendars, and then the general election, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, how would you engage our families and the community to ensure that all voices are heard when you become the school board district number 2 member?
A big thing is just being out in the community. I've met and seen so many great councilmen, Coco and Rockledge, and when I say these guys are on every scene, whether it's at the parks with the city of Coco, or just with Christmas alone, I've seen councilmen in the parades or giving out food or something, just being out in the community. My goal is being elected, and I believe that I will be there. Being elected is every child in District 2 will see me at least one time.
So you'll be a good listener.
Yeah, just
you
being,
would listen.
Being
yeah.
Walking into somebody's school and being like, hey, I see you're short today. So you know what? I'll be here today. And if you want me as a substitute today, I'll be your substitute today. But you have an extra body on campus today.
Yeah.
And I'm a safe extra body because I am a certified teacher. And I don't have an arrest record, which is beautiful.
Yeah. And how do you plan to ensure that all students have a high quality education? No, we all talk about children and a quality education, and I believe in my heart that every child should have a quality education. How would you ensure that? Because in today's climate, we have so many parents that are either falling short or their school is not up to par, up to standard. But how do we ensure that these kids get a quality education?
So while I can't control what goes on in somebody's house, my goal would be to control what happens in these schools, which is backing the teachers and getting them the extra training that they need. UF has all types of extra reading endorsements, and they're paying us to get them, the reading endorsements and the math endorsements and a few other things. they're paying people to get these things. The CDA for daycares, they're paying people to get them. So why, let's send this out and make sure people are actually taking advantage. Let's start having in these principal meetings, which I've never been to one, I've only heard.
Mm-hmm.
In these actual principal meetings, every once in a while, we need to have them in person with every principal in my district. Hey, let's talk about it. Let's talk about what you're doing well. Let's talk about what you're not doing well. And let's talk about how we're supporting these teachers. Because why is there...
So make it open.
Yeah. Why is there a new year teacher have no idea how to use Focus? So they're flying by the seat of their pants.
Yeah. And, you know, I've always had a pet peeve because I have so many friends who are educators. And the teachers go the extra mile and they buy the supplies and they set up their classrooms and they put up beautiful posters. And it's Teacher Appreciation Day or it's Parent Conference Night. And the teachers, they know which parent is going to show up. And out of 22 kids, you may have 5 or 6 parents that actually show up and show some interest in their child. How do you get those parents? And I know that people have to work second jobs and third jobs and whatever. But children wouldn't do well if their foundation at home is not good, if they don't have a good guidance system. How do we get more parents just to appreciate the teachers and understand it's a partnership between parent, grandparent, whoever is taking care of this child?
Well, in a traditional setting, we're supposed to have SAC meetings. Those SAC committees, I believe, is what it's called. I don't want to, where it's a partnership with the parent, the school, and they come and sit down at a table and they're having these open conversations. The PTA is like, hey, let's have a meeting. Let's talk about what the school needs and then what the child needs and everything together. Is supposed to be in a melting pot. It's supposed to turn into a melting pot. But not every school has that. And I've seen my own, so I can speak from experience in my own school. The first year we had our first open parent night, no parent showed up.
I know.
The next year, this year, we had about 3 or 4 parents show up, which is a beautiful thing compared
to the time that no one showed up. Yeah.
So we're slowly growing, right? We're slowly getting parents in. But what does this look like when we're sent? We hardly talk. A big thing we changed was talking to parents. It is a responsibility, and our principal put it out there, and a bunch of my coworkers are great at doing it. We send out a message every week to every parent in our classroom or on our caseload. Every week, weekly communication. Even if the parents don't talk back to us, we're sending out stuff all the time just to say, hey, how you doing? Hey, check your kid's grade.
Yeah, because communication is key, right, to everything in life. You know what? And a lot of us are concerned about school safety. How would you balance issues concerning school safety, discipline, and the student and the educator, a mental wellness about this? I mean, people are worried about school shootings. They're worried about discipline. How would you as a teacher or as a school board member address that?
I would look at it more of school safety-wise. I would definitely look at our metal detectors. I've seen some pretty good ones, and I've seen some pretty bad ones. And with that being said, as a whole, Brevard County should make sure that the metal detectors are uniformed and working in every school and not just one or two.
You mean to tell me there's some that's not working in Brevard?
I've seen some pretty beat up ones, yeah. And that is an issue.
That's something for us to look into. As taxpayers, we would like to have all of them working, and we'd like to have the school resource officers or whoever look into that, right?
Yeah. And you have some great resource officers, and then you have some who probably never get out their car. So you have to have a set standard, and I think that's the big issue with BPS is there's a lot of guessing when you look up, hey, who does this and who's over this and can I read this? We need set standards for everything that we're doing.
Accountability.
We need set standards of, hey, every school should have this as a base, And then we build up from here. Why is it that we have schools like Cocoa High killing it on with the sports and stuff, right? And then you have schools like Vieira. I'm be honest, I haven't really heard anything about Vieira sports teams too much, right? Mm-hmm. But Vieira, resource-wise, has probably...
A lot more.
A lot,
because
a
of
lot
the zip
more.
Code. Right. So... What is your philosophy on the role of technology and digital resources in education?
Okay, so I'm an ESC teacher, right? It's frustrating. Ninth grade curriculum in Brevard County, we do not have paper books. I have children with IEPs that need paper books, cannot handle technology, right? How am I supposed to teach them? Yes, you can print out everything. So I'm printing. I can print out 500, 600 pages of a textbook because that's what it is.
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily mean I'm doing them the right justice because I can't have a hard textbook in front of them like I would do for U.S. history.
So technology doesn't always work is what you're saying.
At all.
Yeah. And we're from the old Fort Knox back then.
We to the like point that I don't know what an IEP is. Right. I believe it's like an individual education plan,
yes.
Right? So does each child get an individual education plan?
No. So I work at a school where every child on my campus has an IEP, so an individual education plan. But children who are struggling. So, for instance, there was a time recently where a young lady with dyslexia went into the school board meeting to talk about her challenges. 9 times out of 10, that child probably had an individual education plan because of her challenges in the classroom and the extra accommodation she would have needed.
Excellent.
All right. Okay. So we have 2 minutes left. How should our limited funding be allocated to best serve the needs of students and educators?
A lot of it, I believe, should be put into training.
Okay. And what are your views on schools of choice and as a school board member, come 2026, how you plan to address that?
Schools of choice, I believe it's okay. It is okay to if you want to put your child in a different school just because you don't feel like the one in your zip code is doing what you want. That's A-okay. My issue, it starts to come in with these new bills where they're trying to put charter schools in the same schools as our regular public schools.
Yes.
That's where it becomes an issue.
It becomes a money-making thing.
Yeah, yeah. And that's an issue.
And all zip codes should be having, we should look at a community school is a community. It's for that community. Pour the resources into that school, into that sidewalk, into that lawn maintenance. Pour it into the teachers in the community school. You'll see differences. Show you care, mm-hmm. Right? So give us your website for our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends who would like to donate to your campaign, chair for you, knock on doors for you, and help you to get elected because you are experienced to lead. You were born to lead, and I can tell we can see it here in the studio.
So currently I do not have an actual website. I am operating off of Facebook right now right. Where it is Elect Shania Lemon for Brevard Public Schools. And I have been just recruiting off of that, just my Facebook page that just recruit for Shania Lemon. And people have been reaching out through there and people have been finding me and telling me exactly what I need to do or if they would like to help me.
Well, yeah. And we will be able to share all of that on our social media pages as well as our website and make sure that we get all of the exposure that we can. Of course, during your campaign, you've got a few months till August to do a bulk of your campaigning. So we'll look forward to hearing about some of the places that you're going to be and where people can meet you and maybe share some of their challenges so that they can, get to know you better and find out how you can help our system.
Yeah, and please check back with us about your events, mm-hmm. where your meet and greets, if you need people to help with that, so we can put it on our website and help you because I do believe we met for a reason and I think you'll be a great school board member here in Brevard County, Florida, in District 2.
All right,
yes.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas to all of our listeners out there. Happy Hanukkah. For those of you celebrating Hanukkah, I believe this is the last day. I think it's the last day today. But nonetheless, whatever you're celebrating, we celebrate with you. We are a country of unique and gifted folks, talents, gifts,
no
and energy.
No doubt about it. The greatest country on
it
earth.
It truly is. Right. It truly is. And from Viewpoint and Seated and Friends, thank you so much for joining us.
We'll and Shania Lemon, and also our guests.